my favorite productivity habit as somebody who always has a million lists going is to schedule one day every 2 weeks where I don't have any calls or anything scheduled. And the reason that this is so productive is because I'm able to think long thoughts and actually prioritize what's the most important.
What's up, everyone? This is Ankit from Forcepreneur.com, and you're listening to the Forcepreneur podcast. On this show, I talk to founders of profitable Salesforce companies and try to get a sense of what it is to be an entrepreneur in Salesforce cosmos. How did it all start, and how was their journey until now? How do they make decisions both in professional and personal life? Our goal here is to learn from their examples so that the rest of us can go on and build our own profitable Salesforce businesses. I'm really looking forward to interviewing my guest today because not only is she a successful entrepreneur, but she's also a speaker and course author, which I also aspire to be. Plus, she's also probably the first person from Stanford whom I'm speaking to, and also an athlete turned entrepreneur. Trust me, she can kick your butt. At least that's what her LinkedIn profile says. Currently, she's the founder and CEO of Brightstay Partners and Leadership. Hello, Megan. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Tell us quickly about your athlete, because I like sports. I'm not doing sports, but I was part of a bunch of teams too. So tell me about your athletic career, and then how did you move into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so I used to play rugby. My body can't quite take the tackles anymore, although I really wish that I could tackle somebody still. So I have to say that piece of me never leaves. But I used to play rugby, and I played for a year in New Zealand on some regional teams there, and then also played for the U.S. national team. So it's something I'm really proud of and has been a big part of my life.
Interesting. And you have a very diverse background when it comes to work. Like, you were also managing director, so you were not founder per se, but you were always in those management positions, as I see. So how did that come about, and how did you come about with the idea of Brightstep Partners?
Yeah, so kind of going back to that time, I was managing director of an entrepreneurship group. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the work I'm doing with entrepreneurs now. But at that time, I had two young kids at home. I wanted more flexibility, kind of looked at what I was doing and decided to become a Salesforce consultant. And I worked first for somebody else. And so I did that for a number of years, you know, got frustrated that I thought that we should do something a little bit differently, and kind of on a whim decided to start my own company along with a founder. Of course, I didn't realize then how hard it would be, and how like it seemed so much easier on paper when I was working for someone else. But it's been such an amazing journey, and you know, just the courage that I've cultivated through entrepreneurship has gone into every single aspect of my life, and is just I wouldn't change anything.
It is addictive, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, especially in this time of uncertainty. I often say to myself, and my husband's an entrepreneur too, that we were kind of built for this moment, like living with a high degree of ambiguity, moving forward even when the future is uncertain. I feel a lot of compassion for friends who have lost jobs. And I also know that, you know, working for myself gives me so much confidence, because I know that whatever comes my way, that I'll be able to figure out. It may not look exactly the way I expect, but we'll be able to move forward.
Right. We are movers and doers. So we just find a way. You know, in Hindi, there's a word called jugaad, which is basically just fixing stuff or somehow getting through it.
I love that.
Hustling is a more polished word of that. But tell us, you are floating in two boats. Your one leg is in Brightstep Partners and your other one is in Brightstep Leadership. So tell us individually about both of them, and then how are you managing that?
Yeah, so Brightstep Partners is my company that I've had for 6 years. And that is a consulting company for based on Salesforce. And we focus on nonprofits and social enterprises. And over the last couple of years, we've really honed in on custom Lightning communities. So this week, really excited, we're launching a training portal built on custom communities, which we like to talk about configurable code. So a lot of custom components that, for example, have interactive filters that an admin, as they add new fields, can automatically have those appear in this component. So we're really excited about that. So I and my team take on, you know, just a handful of clients every year and really do deep dives. But as I looked at what I wanted to do in the world and continue to contribute back, is when I started Bright Step Leadership, and that's my home for courses and my blog. And the reason that started was I had a number of friends come to me and say, "Hey, Megan, I've got a referral for you. How about you take on this project?" I'd say, "Okay, great. Thank you for your referral." It's always great to thank people for their referrals. And I do get all of my business based on referrals. But I said, "I'm all booked up for new work. Why don't you do the project yourself?" And they said, "What? Are you sure? I don't know. Like, what do you think?" And I said, "Yes." And they did do the project, and now they're working as a consultant full-time and added a lot of value to themselves and their client. And so after this happened, literally probably 5 or 6 times, I thought, okay, like, I need to package up this content into something that I can offer to more people. And there's a huge diversity problem in the Salesforce ecosystem. As much as we like to talk about diversity at kind of the trailblazer ranks, at the business ownership ranks, you know, we're seeing more of the same. And so this is really my passion project. This is my side passion project to give back to the community, and something that I'm really committed to and gives me energy as well.
Excellent. You know what? I have exactly the same problem. So I am freelancing since 6 or 7 years, and people, first thing they ask me, how do you do it? Where do you get the clients? How do you get this? How do you get that? Trust me, all the clients that I've got right now is word of mouth, word of publicity. My dad always said, if you do good work, work will come to you. And that's how it has been, touch wood. I am also curious about making a course, and that's why I'm really looking forward to putting some questions across to you. But before we jump into the leadership, let's keep at Bright Step Partners as the SI. So you are a SI company. Are you registered with Salesforce? Are you silver partner, gold partners, or you're doing your own thing?
Yeah, we're a registered partner. We've been an official partner, I guess, maybe 5 years of the 6. And although, you know, I would say, like, our official, we get most of our clients through word of mouth, like you said. But I do appreciate having an official relationship with Salesforce. Occasionally, there's some really great resources. Me legitimacy, and
right.
The AppExchange listing is helpful too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So how big is your team there? And one question is, you mentioned in the Slack chat where we found each other, by the way, shout out to Slack Ohana, or Ohana Slack, and Megan Broadley for bringing us together.
Yes.
So you mentioned that you had a downfall and then you went up again. So if you can quickly touch on that story and tell us what happened and how did you battle that?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about teaching and coaching other entrepreneurs is because of the own journey that I've had. And so despite coming from an investment banking and also a lending background where I worked with entrepreneurs, I went through this same kind of up and down journey. And what happened was we grew pretty quickly. And in year 2, despite having plenty of projects, we had plenty of work, we completely ran out of cash. So we kind of hired too quickly. We weren't, each of us weren't billing enough hours, particularly as owners. We were working really hard, but only, you know, less than half of our time was actually billable time. And so we just weren't bringing in enough cash to accommodate the actual expenses that we had. So at that point, we had to make kind of some hard decisions about what the structure of the business was going to look like. And so I sat down, talked to my partner, we talked about restructuring, we talked about one of us leaving, we talked about shutting it down, because you don't know me, but you know that, like, I don't play around. Like, this is not, you know, building a business is not an ego exercise for me. It's like a way to add value to clients, but also, you know, feed my family and take occasional vacations to Hawaii. So I'm not doing this if there's not, the opportunity cost of income was too high for me. And so at that point, restructured, that, my former business partner left and actually went to work for Salesforce. We kind of like reorganized the economics of it so that more of my time was also billable, and then moved forward from there. What, you know, I think is important to think about for especially smaller consulting shops is that until you get to be about 10 people, really how much time that founder is spent on client work and billable work is really impacts the profitability and impacts the cash flow that comes through. And so there's a lever at which having more employees is actually less profitable just because of the overhead time of managing them, particularly if you're kind of training more younger folks up and you need to spend more time cultivating them. So in terms of my own journey, there was a time when we had 5 employees. Now I've restructured my team, particularly I had 2 folks recruited to Salesforce within a couple of years. So I live in San Francisco. So I was like, wait a minute, I'm training consultants up. I'm investing all this in them. And then Salesforce is like, you know, like poach away. So I had a moment where I was like, all right, this isn't really working for me. And so now I've restructured my company. I have 2 employees. I have about 4 to 5 contractors that I work with kind of on a more limited basis, and a couple of other specialists that I work with in terms of like a website person and a bookkeeper and some of those specialists. And it's a really great structure for me. I made more revenue way back when I had that full team of employees, but I'm more profitable now and I'm happier. Like I have more energy and kind of flow in my life. And so this is one of the things that I would encourage every entrepreneur to think about is what they care about and how to build that back into the what their business is structured like.
Okay, so you already answered my question about revenue and profitability, so we won't go there. So I see that you're doing good. So let's move to Brightstep leadership. So were you always a trainer, teacher? Do you like teaching? Knowing something is one thing and explaining something to the others is totally other thing. Like I know some very smart people who are smart in solving problems, but they are not good teachers. And you know, it's also a skill. So did you have it in you? Did you take some coaching?
Yeah, that's a great question. So back when I was managing director of the loan fund, my primary job was working with entrepreneurs and so helping them. And so one of my favorite stories is Bake Sale Betty. She started selling baked goods at farmers markets and then kind of came to us and our team and we worked with her and coached her. And then she opened up her shop that became like wildly successful and kind of helped her through that process. And so it's something that has always been my natural inclination is to coach mm-hmm. people and bring out the best in them right. and also kind of speak and write and take the lessons that I've learned and translate them into actionable steps that other folks can take. So the Brightstep leadership was in kind of a natural progression of that. I love speaking and writing and kind of typically speak most Dreamforces, at least for the past 5 years, and spend a lot of time
wow.
on my blog. So wow. It's fun to bring out the best in others. Just yesterday, this pandemic time can get a little warped. It's like dog years. It's like yesterday or is that 3 years ago? I don't even know. But yesterday I had a conversation with someone and she was telling me about the idea she was pursuing and kind of what her consulting role was looking like. And I just validated for her that I thought that was a good option and gave her some actionable next steps of to start testing that idea even before she was ready to launch it. And she said, you know, it's so great. Sometimes these ideas just run around in my own head and having someone to talk to and validate them and help give me next steps is really helpful. So.
So tell us, what is that you do at Brightstep Leadership? So I know you have a course, How to Be a Profitable Salesforce Consultant, mm-hmm. but there are many facets to it. So who is it this course for and what this is all about?
Yeah, great question. So it's for folks that are launching a consulting practice, so either as a side hustle or a full-time gig. And it's also for folks that maybe have had their consulting practice for a few years, but really want to grow to the next stage and hire more employees or contractors, or kind of really rethink that the way they're operating. So that's what it's for.
Sorry to interrupt. Are we talking solopreneurs or are we talking owners, like with employees?
It's a mix of both. So right now the course is about half solopreneurs, of folks that are on their own, working on their own, and half folks that either have employees or contractors.
Right. Sorry, continue. So yeah, so it's about people who want to get started in the consulting business. And if you can just give a summary, what do you teach them? What does it revolve around? What's the theme like?
Yeah, so we've got 14 sessions and there's 8 sample downloads. So we go through sales and marketing. So for example, there's a sample question download of questions to ask for that first sales call, both to establish trust and also be able to more accurately estimate the project. So kind of a 2-page sample download question of that. There's a sample proposal and also kind of helping folks focus on what their consulting focus is. There's a section, as you can imagine, on profitability and cash flow, talking about things like the timing of when payments come in, how to structure contracts to make sure that the cash flow is there, and also think about profitability, a rate calculator to help kind of work backwards from what income you're trying to get and work that back into an hourly rate. There's templates about client conversations, about boundary setting and when mistakes have been made. And I'm forgetting a couple other sections, but that gives you a pretty good overview of what's involved in the course.
Yeah. I'll remind you what you are missing. And I think that's a very important. So I do my research. Something that you mentioned is one's own health and setting boundaries and mental health and rejuvenating. I think it's somewhere around those lines. And that, I think, was brilliant. I think that's very important. Like, people skip the part, like when you work alone and you're like, every hour is billable, you're like, oh, I can do 10 hours. And that means, I don't know, $1,000. Let's just go for it. And I went through this and I want people to know in the beginning, I was just seeing dollars and I was not seeing my health. And I took more clients than I could manage. And there came a point where I had enough money, 6-digit money in my bank account, but I had no time to spend it. And I was like, what the F am I doing here? You know, because I had all the money, but I had no time. And then I realized, no, this is not how it works. So now I work with 2 clients, very managed, less is more.
No, I think that's the biggest question, right? And going back to finding what brings us joy and being deliberate about it. Because if we don't manage our time and our schedule, then it manages us. And I think, you know, one of the things that it rules, right? And and folks don't talk enough about the emotional journey of being an entrepreneur and just the and also just a consultant in general. You really have to fortify yourself to be having these kind of what can be tricky conversations on a regular basis. But there's also so much joy and freedom, but only if you take it. For example, this summer, I really am committing to spend some more time with my son, who's kind of going through a hard time during this pandemic. And so I'm going to block out most of July. I'm going to work a little bit, but I'm going to block out most of July because I can, but it's not going to happen unless I'm really proactive about it. And right. So that's it. We only get the freedom of entrepreneurs if we take the freedom. Otherwise it's just right. One more job that we're working for.
Hey everyone. I hope you're enjoying the episode. Here is a quick note about the freelancing course that I was creating. So, as it turns out, it's not as simple to make and it will take some while. In the meantime, if you're serious about starting your freelancing career, I'm offering one-on-one coaching sessions to help you get started. The URL is forcepreneur.com/coach. In these sessions, we will not only discuss all the things that Megan mentioned right now, such as how to acquire a client, how to do requirements and stuff like that, but more importantly, we will try to figure out what is special about you and work on that so that you can create a niche for yourselves and then go ahead and attract more people. Freelancing is not just about offering developer services or admin services. It's about having that extra oomph, that X factor, which makes you so attractive for the employers. So go to forcepreneur.com/coach and fill out the survey and I'll get in touch with you as soon as I can. Thank you. And now enjoy the episode. Moving on. So when you say consultant, is it admin? Is it developer? Is it? So I right now work as a freelancer where I am pretty much everything that a customer wants me to be. You pay me the money and I'll do it for you. So I worked with teams before, but then I realized I'm better as a lone wolf. So I go, I do the requirement analysis. I do the admin. I am a programmer at heart. So I do programming. I do training. I do documentation. And if anything goes wrong, I am responsible. I have worked with teams before and with the big consulting companies, whatever they may be, you know, and there was a lot of blame game and they wanted me to sit there and write the hours because then they can bill the client. And my style of working is if I'm done at 4 p.m., I'll go out with a six pack of beer, sit with my friends in the park, enjoy, fly a kite, I don't know, listen to music. Because I'm doing enough, you know, exactly as you said, things in what you find joy. So if I can leave at 4 p.m., I'm just going to not sit in the office till 6 because I want to write 2 hours. So what is this consultant that you talk about? It's more admin related or just analyst?
You mean in terms of the types of entrepreneurs that I work with Bright Step Leadership or?
Right. So in the course, exactly. So in the course, when somebody is, let's say, starting at a zero, Will she be an admin or a consult or like an analyst or an architect? Like where do they go?
Well, this is the interesting thing. And I think the opportunity in the maturity level of the Salesforce economy right now is that it's a very mature system. And so really there's a place for everyone as long as you put your flag in the sand. And what I mean by that is that I've met people who say, like, what kind of job are you looking for? And they're like, I'm open to anything. And I'm like, my mind goes completely blank. I have no idea who to refer them to. And so when I say that there's space for everyone, it means that if there's someone who wants to focus on marketing cloud for enterprise teams and the strategy around that, there is room for someone to develop a business around that. And at the same time, there's room for somebody to develop a business around being a full service consultancy for manufacturing clients. Well, and it could be the folks, for example, that I'm working with, some are from a developer background, some are from an admin background, some are from a marketing background. Mm-hmm. And so What I like to say is understanding how you like to work and building your business around that. For example, I hate doing support. If you said, Megan, fix these like 25 things of support, like that would drive me absolutely bananas. Like just having like a support inbox, you know, and I do support because, you know, it's just like part of the deal, but I work best with teams that have their own in-house capacity, and I build them up and I build up those teams, right? But also, for example, I have a couple of great developers, including one who's an employee, who if I pull that person into too many client calls, they will go bananas, right? Sure. Like they want to build stuff that's cool, right, and like right, forget about like all these things. And so part of just like our businesses is a reflection of us and what we love to do. So I love to do the solution architecture and the client work. And so I bring other people to help me around that. But a different person who might be a developer who loves to do all of it may or may not bring on other team members to help them, but can also develop a niche.
So if I rephrase, so let's say in your course, you give people the utensils and put them in a kitchen and you're like, now you can cook whatever you want to cook.
I like that.
Is it about right?
Yeah. Well, there's systems, right? There's templates and systems and structures and processes to make this world easier for all of us. But the expression of it is going to be different. Exactly. Like the meal. So.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So let's move to the business side. So that's an interesting course. So how much is the course for? How do the people sign up?
Yeah. So if you go to brightstepleadership.com, there's a section called courses. And it's cost $1,500. It's split up into four payments of $375. So it's split over 4 months. And that's essentially how long it takes to go through the content. And it includes 8 coaching calls. And so it's 2 coaching calls a month. We just had one yesterday. It was like really engaging and amazing. We touched on like 5 different topics. There's some folks who are like, I want it all now. And so there is an option to kind of purchase it all at once. But a lot of folks appreciate the flexibility of paying over 4 months.
Interesting. So how is this coaching market? Like, you are at the forefront of it, but I will not say, well, it is work, and it's also kind of a business, and there are very few people who are doing it. So Don Robbins is doing it, and you know, some people on Udemy are doing it, and you are doing your self-hosted stuff. Like, you're not on one of these platforms, right?
Yeah, for me, and in kind of in parallel to my business itself, this is not about volume. This is about working with folks in a deeper way. So, you know, some of the Udemy courses and things are like $10, learn all you can. Like, that is like, that's not my style. Like, if you are working with me, we're going to go deep, and you're going to get return on your money. Cause I don't play. Like I said before, like, this is not about playing. Like, I ran out of money and I know what that feels like. And this is not about that. And so that's the decision that I've chosen to do, is to work with fewer people and, you know, really limit the number of folks that I'm taking on at any given time.
So does that mean at every session, like, you do like semesters or stuff and then people take part? Or is it something like video on demand where I just sign up and I go and I view, and then you have like class hours where I can ask you questions?
Yeah. So the course, currently you can sign up anytime. I haven't locked that down yet. And what happens is the course comes to you. If you do the weekly one, it just, each session is unlocked a week at a time. So you get an email like notification that you can log in and see the session. And then the course coaching calls are twice a month. And some folks choose to pay for individualized coaching as well. In addition to that, I'm to the point now where, I'm accepting just kind of a couple more folks this month, and then we'll move to a waitlist system. And so just to kind of limit the number of people that are engaged in it at any given time.
Right. So before I move, what technology are you using? Are you using Teachable, Thinkific, a combination of those? What are you using?
Yeah, great question. So one of the recommendations I give in general to entrepreneurs is to pay for outside help. It's the reason why coaching is totally worth its weight in gold. And so when I was first starting this website, I had a woman named Melissa Thorpe. She's fantastic, who helped me set up my WordPress site. And when I was talking to her about a course and just like what this would look like, she suggested MemberPress, because I'm already using WordPress. And the reason I chose that platform is because some of the other ones have ongoing monthly costs. And then as you get more course subscribers, you know, the costs go up. So she's like, just do MemberPress, pay a one-time cost. And then you're not going to have, particularly if you're looking at more of a boutique coaching situation, your costs aren't going to go up as you bring on more people.
And you shot it yourself and you prepared all the presentations? Like, did you do a talking head or?
Yeah, so I don't have a video component right now. My course is text and downloads. It's interesting, you know, in general, as an entrepreneur, this is something to think about. One of my initial beta testers said, hey, you should have video. And I said, that's great. I will add that potentially later. And this is something as an entrepreneur I would encourage everyone to think about is, you know, like perfect is the enemy of the good, right? So I could have waited six more months and done video content. But the reality is that there's so much value to be had and digestible in the format that it is. And I may eventually add video. And I'm trying to keep the cost affordable to folks that are just starting out. So I'm really balancing kind of the time that I invest in different places and trying to put it more in the coaching for actionable, personalized outcomes.
Well, first enjoy the summer with your son in July, and then you can think about it.
Yeah, maybe next year I'll add videos. But but right now what I'm focused on is for the alumni of the course, I've been asking for additional, more advanced content. And so that's where I'm focusing my development right now, is on additional content that those folks who are kind of alumni members can unlock.
So I'll ask the big question, how has it been? Is it been profitable? How fulfilling it has been, both monetarily and also soul-wise?
Oh, in a soul perspective, it is the thing that gives me energy and reminds me why I care so much about this ecosystem. And every time I talk to an entrepreneur and help them get closer to achieving their goals, it lights a fire inside me. And that's the reason I do it. My accountant would say, if you took all the hours I spend in this and divide it, my quote unquote billable rate for this course is way under the opportunity cost that I could be making on, you know, doing more custom lightning communities. But that's not the reason I do it. It's the reason I do it is because I want to light others up.
Right. I accept that totally. But I also say we have to pay the bills. And what I want to know is if the listeners, if somebody, because as you mentioned, Salesforce is now in mature industry, that there are folks which are 10, 15 years in it. So is juice worth the squeeze?
I would say that from a monetary, well, what I mean, at the heart of your question is starting at the end to work back to the beginning. And anytime I'm about to do something new, I'm always thinking like, what's the outcome from this? And of course, I'm an investment banker numbers person. So like, you know, okay, that I've like run the numbers, like, is this worth my time? So what I will tell you is that compared to consulting, doing coaching is not as profitable as doing consulting, just point blank. And I'm choosing to do it not because it's a profitable income stream, but because I care deeply about increasing the diversity of this ecosystem and helping others. Fair enough.
So you mentioned ecosystem. So tell us about your relationship with your local Ohana. So you are in San Francisco. You are like just close next to Salesforce offices, which we also learned can also be a bad thing because they take away your employees. Yeah, I've never been to California. I would love to. I now have a German passport. And one of the to-dos was to go to Dreamforce this year. So I've never been to Dreamforce. Again, I could not justify the return on investment. It's like a $6,000-$7,000 investment. But tell me about the local Ohana. How are your relationships? How has that helped you in your business?
Yeah, I have been a really active participant in the San Francisco nonprofit user group for a while, which has been really, especially in the beginning of my business, I got a number of referrals from folks that were kind of involved in that user group. So I would really encourage folks to get involved with their local user group. Now that I've kind of, my interests have expanded or kind of just shifted a little as we do, I'm really interested in kind of women and tech and diversity kind of groups. And so, for example, I made the investment to go to Witness Success for a couple years in a row and just was really, really benefited a lot from those relationships that I made that kind of came out of that conference and just like the encouragement of each other and also kind of really thinking about some of the content that I want to put out into the world. And so, yeah, I would recommend if there's a local event, virtual, now the virtual, we can go to all of them, but to really invest in relationships, it's really helped me as an entrepreneur, both to test ideas and get connected and just have friendships too.
Right. I love them. I also co-lead the Berlin Dev Group, and I started one in Hamburg, and then Salesforce banned me from running two groups, and they were like, you are doing too much goodness. We cannot handle it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, I was working as a freelancer, and I was traveling to Hamburg, and there was no group. And I was like there in the middle of the week, and I was like, I don't have anything. Well, let's start a group. So I started one. And then last year, Salesforce brought it out that you can only run one group because a bunch of people were kind of beefing up their CV by just starting groups everywhere. So they were like, no, we got to take care of that. I mean, I was doing it for legit reasons, but some people were, you know, there are always people who find ways to game the system.
Well, what I love what you said is that you, if there isn't a group, start one, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like... You know, folks think like, oh, like this happened to me. And like in my personal life, I was like, this is what I want right now. I'm going to start a group around it. And I found like a few other women to help me. And so, I mean, that's the entrepreneurial mindset. Like, okay, if something doesn't exist, start it.
Right. All right. So, yeah, we are slowly coming to the final part of the interview. So let's go into a tough, some hard questions. So you, the good thing is that you also have some experience outside of Salesforce ecosystem. So tell us, what have been your top three challenges running Salesforce enterprises, and how did you overcome them? Are there different challenges to running other companies, would you say?
You know, I find that the challenges are very similar. I think this is, for me, this is the first time I've run a services company. And so thinking about talent is an interesting challenge. And just both growing talent and retaining talent is a unique challenge to the consulting space itself. I guess the advice that I would give folks that I've learned is really, if something's an issue, step into it sooner than later. For example, I had one of my employees wasn't making their billable goals, and I knew they could, right? I was like, what's happening here? And so I went to a sales leader that I knew that worked for a company who was like, I know their salespeople have like crazy hard goals. And I asked that person, I said, like, I know this person is not making their goals. Like, what do I do? And he was like, okay, this is what you do. You sit this person down and you say, like, I know you can do this. I have confidence in you. This is the expectation. Here's what I'm going to do to help you. And if you don't feel like that this is going to work for you, then it's time to move on. Kind of like that four-step conversation. I was like, okay.
Very nice.
Right? And it just like in a place of deep compassion, but being very clear. And so I went and had the conversation with this person, and like, just like things like turned around for them. Like I knew they would, you know, I knew they could. I knew this person was capable. And so that's one of the things that I've learned is like step into that discomfort sooner than later. And then the second thing I've learned is really kind of going back to that conversation is finding mentoring. A mentor is not a person, it's a moment. And so depending on, you know, who that, what issue I'm struggling with, I'll find somebody to speak into that. And I'll tell them specifically why I'm asking them that question. And more often than not, people will help you. Like, for example, we just started a Slack community for my course because they were like demanding it. I'm like, what is happening? Like, no, I don't want to start a community. They're like, no, we must have a community. So then I reached out to Erica Cool. I was like, okay, Erica, you're the queen of communities. Like, tell me how I can set boundaries around this, but still, you know, have it be successful. And so she told me like 10 things, which was amazing. And then I started, it's been great. And so I circled back with her. And so that's the other part of like the mentoring moments is circling back with the person. And then the third piece I would say is like paying for help, you know, that you can go so much farther, you know, paying for a bookkeeper, paying for coaching, paying for website help, like instead of spinning in our own heads. And that's just enabled me to go so much further. And then the fourth piece of advice I would say that I've learned is just to trust myself. And part of that is a spiritual practice. And so I would really encourage folks and entrepreneurs to really dive into, you know, whatever that spiritual practice and expression is, because there's so much fear that can overwhelm. You know, for example, like I had a moment last year, I was kind of pursuing this potential in-house project with a large enterprise, and I stopped taking on new clients for a couple months while I was like, should I do this? You know, I didn't want to commit to a new client project if I was going to maybe go into this. Thankfully, I did not take that role because it would not have been a good fit. But then I kind of like just had to go in and just like pray and be like, all right, like now I need a project. And of course, like one happened, and actually the biggest project that I've had in 3 years just kind of showed up. And part of that is just like really developing a spiritual practice as an entrepreneur and just really digging in. And that's the fourth piece of advice I would say.
So I also meditate, and I found this last year, probably. I'm meditating regularly since last year. And before that, I was like, this is for boring people. What are, and you know, in India, the thing is they teach meditation in India in schools. When you tell a 7 or 8 or 9 year old kid to sit and meditate and just tell, not explain them why they have to do it, but just, you kind of build that relationship. No, this is nothing that I'm going to do. And then last year I started it, and now my girlfriend is doing it. And my girlfriend's mom just said, so I have this Headspace family pack where there are all family members all around.
That's fantastic. No, it makes such a difference. And you right. know, anytime you talk to any entrepreneurs or leaders or CEOs, like, you dig down deep enough. And at some point, to really be able to ride this wave, it takes some space. Takes some space and introspection.
So one of the questions was advice for budding forcepreneurs or people who want to start, but I think you already shared that. If you have nothing to add, then I'll move to the next question.
Yeah, no, I went right for the advice. All my hard times have advice at yeah. the end of them.
No worries. So who are the people whom you look up to for inspiration?
Yeah, when I was thinking, you had kind of mentioned before the call, like what other entrepreneurs you look up to. So in historical times, my grandfather, he started his own company producing bobby pins, which is like a hair clip, that like this like metal hair clip, which is super ironic because I have no hair. So you can't see me on this thing, but I have no hair. I have alopecia, so I have no hair. And so I always think about him and just the way he moved in the world. And he, back before they had CRMs, he would write down customers' names and like the names of their kids and things on note cards. And he would go call on folks. So I think about him. In modern days, I really like the folks from Speckit. The right. two women who are running Speckit are real encouragers. And I just really appreciate the way that they're moving in the world and kind of like taking the Salesforce system by storm. And I'm really grateful to see their success.
Well, I'm going to interview Melanie next week. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
And what was the name of your grandfather? We should know his name.
Yeah, his name was Charles.
The full name, please.
Oh, Charles Granger Hyman.
Nice. And all right. I know that you run two boats. I'm pretty sure you are a productivity junkie. So what's your favorite productivity habit?
So this kind of feeds back into a little bit of the spiritual practice, but my favorite productivity habit, as somebody who always has a million lists going, is to schedule one day every 2 weeks where I don't have any calls or anything scheduled. And the reason that this is so productive is because I'm able to think long thoughts and actually prioritize what's the most important. So it sounds counterintuitive, but actually scheduling time to not do anything is productive. And kind of in the same vein, since we've all been sheltering in place in the pandemic, what I've done for my family is on Saturdays from the morning until 7 p.m., we go screen free. So the whole family does that. And that's also afforded me a lot of time to just both connect with the family, but also think long thoughts too. So it's been
interesting.
Great.
Interesting. So we both are really very alike because I do something, it's called contemplation time. And I got it from Toto Wolff. He runs the Formula One team Mercedes. And he mentioned when he's on long haul flights, he sees people going into their screens and getting into the entertainment system, and he just does nothing. And he just lies down and thinks. So I tried it. So I also have Saturdays where I sit here on my meditation and I meditate, and then I have nothing. And I just let all kinds of thoughts go. It can be crazy stuff. And it's just, you just let the brain do its thing, and then something comes out of it or something not. So that's I'm happy to know that there's someone who shares. I think people have forgotten the art of thinking without running on that engine. So you get an idea, not starting planning, just let it think. It's like I get 10 million business ideas, but I'm like, okay, that's just good. Let the brain do its thing.
Yes, I love that.
Right. So thank you, Megan. Thank you for your time. It was really interesting to talk to you. I think there was a lot of learning nuggets. I think you are at the forefront of something totally new and imparting knowledge, not just for monetary reason, but also building the next generation of consultants and, you know, spreading more light and love in the world. Before we finish, I have a quick rapid fire round to get a little bit in your personality.
Yes. All right.
So are you ready? Okay.
Coffee.
Tea or coffee?
Mac.
Windows or Mac?
Hard copy.
E-books or hard copy? Are you a morning person or a night person?
Night person.
Your choice of night routine, meditation, yoga, journaling?
Journaling.
Nice. If you could beam yourself to any place, where would it be?
Hawaii.
If you had a time machine, would you like to travel in the past or in the future? If you hit a 10 million jackpot, what will you do?
I would buy a vacation house, travel the world, and help people.
Fair enough. Which city do you like to travel to for business?
New York.
That's funny because 90% people say San Francisco because they're not in San Francisco. You're there. As a business traveler, which hotel chain is the best value for money?
Oh, good question. I usually just like look online and find whatever's the deal.
What's the best thing you have seen in an org? Like that was impressive.
I'm impressed with what we just built, I have to say. Our custom lightning components that we just built, of course, our own work.
Right. What's the worst thing you have seen in an org and you were like, no way?
Oh, kind of custom, a whole custom object that replicated opportunities.
We have all seen them. I've also seen cases and accounts, right? What is the nicest testimonial that someone has left for you on your course?
You know, a woman just wrote, "Hey, Megan, you know, this is more, what you've given me is more than I could ever pay." And it just, it was really a nice, just a reminder of what impact that can have on other people in the trajectory of
sweet.
Where they go.
Best Dreamforce and why?
I think about Dreamforces by who the person playing the concert was. And so there was a concert at the baseball stadium, and it rained and the sound went out, and Green Day ended up singing a cappella to those of us who were gathered on the field. And it was just this amazing moment that I will...
That's the best Dreamforce answer for this I have ever received. Last question. Can Google be dethroned?
No.
Fair enough. Thank you, Megan. That was your time. It was really nice speaking to you. We are perfect on the clock. Do you have any closing notes? And how do people connect to you?
Yeah, the best way to find me is on my blog site, which is brightstepleadership.com. And I also post a lot on LinkedIn and sometimes on Twitter and also in the Ohana Slack. So thanks so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Cheers. That's it for now, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, check out the other episodes. Please like, share, and subscribe to Forcepreneur. We are available on all major platforms. If you have feedback about any episode or would like me to interview someone, please go to www.forcepreneur.com and let me know. I will get back to you as soon as I can. This is Ankit Taneja signing out. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.